The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. You have the usual substitute sitting in, myself, Jermaine, and my partner over here in crime, Craig Koskin. But we do still have the hardest working man at ESPN 97.5, Nick Sciarra, on the boards with us. So we do have one third of the usual suspects here. If you want to call in, please call in 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. We kicked off the first hour talking about tacos and Mexican food.
Before we get into the next hour, we found something out over the break that has angered both of us
and has
taken a specific restaurant out of the running for best Mexican food.
I'm pissed.
So, Torchy's Tacos, who, to be fair, I said is not really a taco, unless you get a beef fajita or a chicken fajita taco there. Or they have barbacoa, too, which is so. But those
Democrat,
are tacos. But they're sandwiches that just happen to use tortilla as the use tortilla as the bread. Nick and Jermaine defended them. Nick gets a follow from Torchy's on Twitter. Jermaine doesn't.
Well, Jermaine should be the upset one.
Exactly. But, hey, we're talking about them on air, giving them the pub.
And I'm wearing a Torchy's T-shirt.
And you don't get a follow. So, he has now changed his vote.
What?
It's a sandwich, not a taco. You call him a Torchy's, you're getting dumped. What? Unless, Torchy's, you got 2 hours now to follow us.
Yep.
And then...
2 hours, Torchy's.
And then we'll put you back on the list.
I have nothing bad to say about Torchy's Tacos.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't.
No, they follow you.
You got the key follow.
I'm just highly upset and disappointed because I spent a lot of my hard-earned money at that same Torchy's that Nick goes to over there in Sugar Land. And for them to follow him and not follow me, I'm a little hurt.
That's hurtful.
I'm a little hurt.
Well, I will say this. Before we get into MCs, I have found the video of Missouri players talking about how the game was in the bag, thus triggering the celebration.
Please tweet that out.
During the game. Oh, it's going out. I'm retweeting the original tweet. It is video, so there is no more allegedly in this. It's been found. So, okay. I just wanted to say, because I was careful to say it was alleged taunting throughout the week. It's no longer alleged. It happened. So I feel less bad, and I want more Missouri Tiger tears calling into the... Well, we haven't had any, but...
But I was saying on the last show, it's natural for, like, the smaller school or less popular school to want to create some sort of rivalry with the bigger school, you know?
Yeah.
It's not...
Look, and
And I Texas think the first thing you do is you do a hook them down if it's Texas.
Texas isn't innocent in all of this. DeLoss Dodds, the former AD while Mac Brown was at Texas, was notorious for saying, when Missouri left to the SEC, saying something along the lines of, well, we're Texas, our bad years are Missouri's great years, and look what Texas has been the last 6 years, 7 years, frankly,
subpar.
A very mediocre to subpar program. So it's not like Texas has never taken a shot at Missouri.
Oh, yeah, they've taken their shot. They took a bunch of shots at Missouri and A&M during that whole fiasco of leaving the Big 12 for the SEC.
I mean, I still say they were good moves by both. I'm just saying they were middle-of-the-road teams in the Big 12. They're middle-of-the-road teams in the SEC. It's a lateral move, but a good move for brand perception and revenue generating.
Oh, definitely, because you're going to get a much higher profile look yep. when you're in the SEC, agreed. Especially for A&M in the SEC West when you're lumped in there with Auburn, yep. Alabama, and LSU.
And we can always count them being in the race until November rolls around and then they fall off. But when you get September, October talked about, like mm-hmm. you're up there, it's good for your brand.
Right, so, yeah, and honestly, A&M in November, especially towards the middle end of the month, I mean, they fall off like a Hot Wheel going off the end of a dining room table. It's just a dramatic drop-off, just plummet. But this whole move with Jimbo Fisher, to me, it speaks of two things. A&M seeking to replace Kevin Sumlin because he brought them so far, and they're looking for somebody to pick up that torch and bring them a little bit further.
Yep.
And Jimbo's frustration with the administration at Florida State not willing to spend on the program and athletics and the facilities and whatnot. I think it's going to be a perfect marriage between the two because they get a higher profile coach who's won a national title. Jimbo gets a university who's already spent the money on improving the facilities and whatnot. And he's a great recruiter. Will that marriage, you know, have the baby of a national championship is what I really want to see.
I don't know. It's going to take time. They're not a national championship caliber team yet. They don't have the talent there yet. I will say this, that was a boss move by A&M. You go get one of the few active coaches who has won a national title, who can recruit.
Yeah.
Pluck him from the place where he was groomed to be the head coach.
Yep.
That is a boss move. That's all it is. And the only thing I would caution at, and I know A&M pockets are super deep, so the money is the money. It is what it is. But 10 years at $75 million guaranteed.
That is insane.
If after year four, you can see it's not working out, who wants to write the $42 million check to buy him out? I'm not saying they can't write the check.
Who's going to want to do so?
Who or what collection of boosters, mm-hmm. which guys are going to sit there and be like, you know what, I'll throw in $6 million. God, that's only 1/7 of the entire amount we got to throw in for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that will happen. That's just the what if I'm throwing out there. I think he will. I don't think he will actually coach out his entire contract because of his age and yeah. all that stuff. I think he's probably 7 or 8 years and then he'll retire. Unless in 7 or 8 years he has it rolling like Nick Saban does now at Alabama and he's always in the playoff. And everything like that.
Here's one of the things that I'm looking at. When you hear the rumors of Gus Malzahn wanting to go back to Arkansas because that's where he's from, that's where his wife's from, they love it out there. When you see the Ed Orgeron experiment not working in year 1.5 or however you want to call it at LSU, Nick Saban's a little bit long in the tooth. How much longer is he really going to keep this machine going at Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Within that 10-year span, LSU is probably going to have at least one, maybe two more head coaches, just depending on the way the next hire goes.
They're at least going to have one more because Ed Orgeron probably doesn't survive next year.
I don't think so. I mean, they got a high pro. They got some decent recruits coming in, but I want to see what he does from here next year.
You can have all the recruits you want if you can't coach the X's and O's.
Thank you.
No matter how good the coordinators are, the coordinators may be excellent.
Aranda in Canada, they're considered two of the better offensive and defensive, respectively, coaches in college football. They got the talent. You have to put it together.
Agreed.
You have to put it together. If Gus Malzahn decides to go back to Arkansas, I think he's going to take a step back because I don't think he'll be able to get the same type of guys.
I don't think he's going to Arkansas anyway.
I don't think he is, but the allure of going home, sometimes it's too much to resist for some guys. Willie Taggart left Oregon after 1 year to go to Florida State.
Yeah, but he went from Oregon, which is a great program, mm-hmm. to another great program. Arkansas is not a great program.
Exactly.
Auburn is very much hot and cold. They'll go 10-2 1 year, and then they'll have a setback and go 4-8, 5-7, 6-6, and then they'll have a 7-5 year, and then they'll go 10-2, 11-1, 12-0 again, have a chance at the playoff or a BCS bowl back in the day with Cam Newton. You're not going to get that at Arkansas. No. Not going to do it.
At Arkansas, your best year is going to be 9-3, maybe 10-2 if you catch Alabama or LSU or somebody like that on the right year.
Arkansas left the Southwest Conference in 1992. They've played in exactly one SEC championship game.
Yep.
One.
I did kind of like it when Bobby Petrino was there before he got caught, like, banging the volleyball chick or whatever. But, like, I mean, it does seem like a program that you can at least work with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They can be competitive. They can win 9 games. They can win 10 games. They may even at some point catch some flash in the pan year where they win the SEC West at 11-1, maybe even 12-0. But that is an anomaly. It's not the norm for a place like Arkansas.
You can do that at Auburn every 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
On a much more regular basis than you can ever do it at Arkansas.
Exactly.
But there's just going to be a point in time, I think, in the end where in the next 10 years, if Jimbo coaches all of those 10 years, where he's going to be able to catch lightning in a bottle once, maybe twice, and have a really, really good run. I'm talking about like a national championship run, make it to a playoff. I think he can do that at A&M with the facility that he has, the recruiting base that he can pull from, the type of money that they're going to be willing to spend in order to give him whatever it is that he feels like he needs as far as expense budgets and whatnot. So I just think it's the only way this investment pays off, it has to bring a national championship to A&M within the life of that contract. It has to.
Oh, I think even Aggies would tell you that it's a failure if it doesn't.
Yeah,
I think for sure they would. You know, we did this whole segment. We didn't even get into what we were supposed to. ADD strikes again. We were supposed to do top MCs. We got to do it in the next segment.
We
for
got
sure.
to do it in
because
the next segment.
With an hour and 45 minutes left in the show, I feel like the calls are going to come in, and I say that no one's going to call.
Exactly. We want you to call in.
I think they will, too.
And if you still haven't chimed in on Twitter, @C_Kosh, @The_Jermaine, @TheProducerNick, you can still hit us with your Mexican food places. Please feel free to call in, 713-780-3776. We're going to get into top MCs right after this break here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. We are The Usual Substitutes. It's Jermaine Every and Craig Koshkin filling in for Barry and Joel, but we do have the hardest working man at ESPN 97.5, Mr. Nick Sciarra, behind the boards with us. If you want to get in the show, please feel free to call in 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. You can hit us on Twitter. Craig, you're at @C_Kosh. That's KOSH.
There you go.
I'm at @The_Jermaine. That's JERMAINE. And Nick is at @TheProducerNick. We had a topic that we couldn't wait to get into because we figured it'd be a lot more controversial, a lot more.
It's going to be polarizing. There's going to be people.
Yeah, there we go.
It's going to be polarizing. And we talked about it yesterday because we kind of talked rap music yesterday. Mm-hmm. I started off because Nick loves when I ask these like kind of obscure rap questions. I asked, what is the best beat with the worst like artist on it ever?
Yeah.
And I gave Mims, this is why I'm hot, because the beat is fire and he is
trash.
A blizzard. I mean, whatever puts out fire. That's
dump
him.
Some juice.
But so we decided we're going to come up with top five MCs for this. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do this on my podcast, which you can find on Podcast Arena here, is one of ours called The Sideline. I dig it. I mean, I'm a little biased. I dig it. But I always ask new guests, what are their top five MCs of all time?
I just want
to get people's ideas. And it ranges differently. The only mainstays that are pretty much on everyone's list are Biggie and Tupac. And I'm going to say right now, I'm causing controversy early, one of those two is not in my top five.
Yeah, one of those two is not in my top five.
I think I know who it is. Yeah. I'll let you disclose it.
So this is how I know I kind of took over here, but this is how I'd like to do it. I want to go countdown. Everyone give their number five, then everyone give their number four, three, ooh, two, and one. That way we're not just going one person all five. So I want to get this. So I'm going to start with you, Jermaine. Who is your number five MC of all time?
See, this is harder for me because I didn't.
You didn't rank him?
I didn't rank him. I just put five on the board and called it a day.
I know who you think your number one is. Oh, I mean, I don't know who it is, but I know you have one you think is number one. You probably have one you think is number two. It's distinguishing between who's four and five that's tough for you.
It really is. It really is.
Who you got? You got to pick one.
Okay, hold up. Let me redo this
list. Nick, you're going. Nick, you got to go first.
That's cool. I go first. My five is Nas. I think, because when just for clarification purposes, like MC versus artist, I think there's a lot more artists than MCs now. That's just my personal opinion.
That's fair.
So when you say the best, top five MCs, I'm going with guys that, are known for their lyrics.
Yep, and that's kind of where I went with mine as well. But it's open for interpretation. If you call in 713-780-3776 and you want to talk about dudes who just put out club bangers and that's your style of rap music, to each their own, we might trash you for it, but that your list, this is completely subjective.
Right, and that's why I wanted to preface it. Like, my list is based more on lyrics.
My number five, Rakim.
Very good lyricist.
That's my number five. Great lyricist, didn't have the staying power to go further up my list.
And see, that's why I had to cut him from my list.
He's so good to me that his lack of staying power puts him on the list. But, I mean, if he had done it for 15 years and gone a little more mainstream.
Mm-hmm. He didn't even have to go a little bit more mainstream.
Put out some more material.
Yeah, definitely.
Then he probably is two or one on my list, to be honest. But that's me. Your five, Jermaine?
My five, I went Lil Wayne.
Man, no one puts out more material than Lil Wayne does.
I had to go Lil Wayne.
I don't think a lot of people will argue against you.
A little bit of hometown bias there.
He's not on my list.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't put him there. He would be at the outer parts of my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But we're splitting hairs from one. Yeah. From 5 to 10 for sure.
You can interchange
those.
You can interchange.
Sure.
Sometimes 4, 5, 6 to 10. Anywhere in there, you can definitely interchange a lot of those on a lot of different lists.
Sure, okay, I get it. So I get it. He wouldn't be in mind, but I'm with it. Like, he's not someone I'm going to look at and say, you're crazy. It's like LeBron and Jordan. Like, I don't think LeBron's better than Jordan, but I don't think anyone's crazy for thinking LeBron is better than Jordan. Like, right. I don't think it's a ridiculous statement.
Discrepancy, yeah, it's not a big difference. Yeah.
So you went hometown favorite at number five. I went hometown favorite at number four. Give me Scarface.
Ooh.
At number four. That's my number four.
I don't think anybody in Houston is going to go against you.
He is the only dude in Houston who made it nationwide. Like, big time nationwide. Chameleon Air had some stuff that went all over the nation.
Maybe Paul Wall did for a little bit.
Paul Wall did for a little bit. I mean, Mike Jones had...
I would argue Paul Wall is more known than Mike Jones, though.
No, definitely that, for sure. But Mike Jones had one line that everyone...
Right.
He gave his cell phone number out in the song. So, Nick, what's your number four?
I'm going to go with, I believe it's Andre 3000 is my number four.
Love it. Three stacks. He's amazing.
Yeah. I don't think he gets the credit for the delivery and the lyrics at the same time when you combine his delivery and his lyrics.
And it's because he's always lumped in with Outkast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not to say Big Boy isn't really, really good. He is. But without Andre 3000, Outkast just never gets as big as it does.
No. And I think that they complement each other so well with their contrasting styles, to the point where when you bring them together as a group, it just makes magic. Like, there are some guys, they can stand alone by themselves that came out of a group, but then there are some guys who, when you put those two together, it just makes magic happen. And they have a ton of classic albums together.
Side note before we get to your number four, underrated group rap duo, Capone and Noriega. Great rap duo that don't get any of the due that they deserve. Don't. They wouldn't be anywhere near my list of top five, top 10 as individuals at all.
No, but they're very underrated.
Very
good.
Okay, so you're number four, Jermaine.
My number four, I put Jay-Z. That was the first. I'm going to put it to you like this. What was it? Hard Night, Hard Knock Life Volume 2 was the first CD back then that I bought with my own money that I made by working with my bare hands.
I think Jay-Z is phenomenal. I only have one album of his that I think is just gotta listen to. And I'll get killed for this. I understand this. The Black Album is, I can listen to from start to finish a million times over. But it's not enough for him to put, for me to put him in his top five. And he's a self-proclaimed biter of other people's lyrics.
And you know what? That's one of the things that I get knocked on a lot when I put him in on these type of lists, is because he's bitten off other lyrics, especially from Biggie. A lot of people say, you know, he took a lot of Biggie's lyrics and made it into this, or he took, you know, he flipped one of Nas's lines and made it into a hot track. I mean, like, just stuff like that, to me, I like and
people,
can appreciate.
People go as far as accusing Jay-Z of not having a career if Biggie never died. Like, that's how far people go.
And I think that's taking it too far.
100%.
Way too far. Look, the dude is, without a doubt, the most influential rapper alive. Without a doubt.
You can't argue with that.
He has way too much reach, pull, money, and power. So, I mean, you might be able to say Diddy because he owned a label that was kind of it in the late 90s, early 2000s. But at worst, Jay-Z is 1A. As far as most powerful people in the game. Number Definitely. Three, I'll start with my number three. This is where Nas comes in for me at number three. So,
yeah, I had him as, you know what, just, you know, not to cut anybody off, but I had him as my number three as well.
So we both have Nas as number three.
All right, cool.
He comes in a little higher. Well, who you got as number three?
My number three is Eminem.
So I like the pick. Eminem lyrically is amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't look at his career and not hold his last two albums against him.
Okay.
Because they're not... Eminem LP, Marshall Mathers LP...
Slim Shady
LP. All those are classic beyond classic.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing with some guys like that. The front end, or let's say the back end, or sometimes the middle of their catalog is so strong, it can like overpower certain parts of their catalog.
I agree.
And I definitely think that with guys like Jay-Z, when you look at In My Lifetime Volume 1 and 2, number 3 was okay. It has some tracks on it. But like the Black Album, there are certain parts of his catalog that just hold up much better than others. When you look at certain guys, I mean, just some things that they do. One of the things that put Nas at number 3 for me was just one song all in itself, and it displayed versatility, lyrics, everything, storytelling was Rewind.
See, for me, it's Ether. That's what puts him in there for me. Ether is just like the textbook diss track.
Oh, definitely.
If you're going to try and teach someone what a diss track is, you play Ether for them.
I kid you not, I'll never forget a bunch of friends of mine and I, we were all going out, me and my good friend. He was actually the best man at my wedding, George. We went out for our birthdays, and we're having a great time. I kid you not, we played Ether all night. Every time we were in a car, bar hopping, going from the restaurant to the club, whatever, we played Ether the entire time. That's how great of a song that was for us back then when it came out.
Yeah, yeah. We have one call. We'll take it on the other side of the break. We have each of our top twos. Yeah, left to go.
Yeah, we'll have to say the top two on the other side.
Yeah, that's good. That's what we call in the business a tease.
John, if you hang with us, we'll be right back on ESPN 97.5. We'll get your call. We'll get our top twos. We'll do that all on the opposite side of this break. Coming right back.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. We are The Usual Substitutes, however, sitting in for Joel and Barry. I'm Jermaine Every, that's Craig Koshkin, got Nick Sciarra producing. We're here currently discussing our top five MCs list. If you want to call in with your top five, I know Danny, John, you guys are waiting. Just give us a moment, we'll get right to you guys. The number is 713-780-ESPN. It's 713-780-3776. And we left off at number twos. Our number twos were up next.
I think we should take the calls first, make the people wait. Make them wait a little longer before... they get the top two.
All right. Who was waiting along?
John was the first one.
John was on hold through the break. John, you're on with Craig and Jermaine. What's up, John? What you got for us?
I'll give you my five real quick. Number one's not even close, and y'all kind of penalized them for not being around along, but back then it was a little bit different. You couldn't just fart and make an album and everybody would buy it like today. Rakim's by far the best. It's not even close to me.
I respect the positioning, and it's fine. Like, I have no arguments against you on that. My personal criteria kept him out of number one for me.
Right. And then number two, if it wasn't for a car wreck, he might be the best ever. DOC from Dallas, hung around the NWA crew.
Yeah.
That one album alone is better than Jay-Z's entire collection, if you ask. Jay-Z's most overrated rapper in the history of mankind. Three
bold statement.
Close. I got three and four pretty close. Yeah.
Okay, three, four, and five. What? Very close. Let's hear them.
Oh, Scarface is next for me.
That's fair.
And, he's been there so long. KRS-One, obviously. That guy's been one of the originals. And number five is the underground rapper you may or may not have heard of. He's really good, and you need to look up on YouTube. R.A. the Rugged Man.
I might have to look that up.
He's really good.
Okay.
He's so much better than 95% of the rappers out that's ever been out.
Okay.
And also, everything since 2000, pretty much garbage. Just my opinion.
With very few exceptions, I can actually agree with you there.
He has that one good album that's pretty good, but I mean, Jay-Z, there's a million guys that sound better than him. He's a great businessman, but he's an average at best rapper to me. I don't know if I can co-sign
that hot of a take on Jay-Z, but I understand the opinion. I get the opinion. I get what you're saying.
I like the conviction in his call. You know, like he was very sure in his pick.
Yeah. He was very passionate about it, too.
And thank you for the call. This is a hot topic. This is something that people have very strong opinions on.
This is what we wanted when we brought this topic up. Yep. This is exactly what we wanted.
Danny, welcome in to the usual substitutes. Yeah, that's what we are today. What's up, Danny? Who you got? Top five. Rattle them off for us.
What's going on, fellas? I think y'all are showing your age a little bit here, but I'm going to give you my top five. And echoing the last caller, number five is KRS-One. Going down the list, Rakim, you can't really deny that. I'm not sure if any of your list has this brother on it, but Ice Cube had a very long run, and everybody remembers him as an actor now, but forget what he really did as a rapper.
He is number 5B for me. He's just off the list, Ice Cube is. I agree with you. He's just off my list. Just missed the cut.
All right. Number two is Chuck D, Public Enemy. Nobody can really compare with him. And number one on my list is Tupac Shakur.
Okay. I got you. I appreciate it. Tupac.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Tupac.
Appreciate it, Danny.
So Tupac you will not find on my list. And I'll tell you why. We talked about this yesterday.
Right.
He was a great teller of stories.
Yes, he
but
was.
But not a great lyrical rapper.
No.
And that's why he doesn't make lists. He's close. I mean, he's another one of those guys. Bubble pick.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't make the cut, even over an Ice Cube or a KRS-One, who is another guy that's on the bubble for me. It was really tough picking between Rakim, KRS-One, Ice Cube as those, like, that fifth spot.
Yeah.
Who was that guy for?
Those are some of the guys that definitely, like, top 10 material. But, like, when you say top five and you have to narrow it down to just those five, they're, like, kind of, like, knocking on the door, like, pushing at the door, kind of getting in. They just didn't make it for me. And KRS-One and Rakim were two of my favorites when I was a kid growing up.
And Ice Cube, I said Ether is, like, the textbook diss track.
No Vaseline. That was the blueprint.
That
was the blueprint to a diss track.
Exactly.
The blueprint.
Before you could get away with, I mean, you could say some things, but you couldn't say what you could say when Nas wrote Ether.
Yeah.
So
it was a little bit more taboo back then, and Ice Cube just didn't care. He just put it out there.
We got one more on the line.
Bon? Is it Bon?
It's spelled B-O-N.
What's up, man?
Hey, just got a quick comment. About y'all's list. I think Nas, for one, he's the most lyrically dominant. The only knock I have on Nas is that, you know, in his catalog he has a lack of club bangers throughout his catalog. And I feel like there's really only one rapper who who reached all aspects of everything as far as club bangers, could tell the story and do all of the above, and that was Tupac. So I think he's the number one rapper. But other than that, you know, if you look at longevity, everything else, I think he's the guy.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Let's get into it. Let's do our top twos. Jermaine, you're up.
My number two was Eminem.
Okay.
I put him at number two because he came along at a time in which, you know, it was real popular to do like club stuff, happy stuff.
And you didn't quite trust a white rapper to bring the heat.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's call it what
not,
it is.
Not just a white rapper, but he's a bleach blonde white rapper.
But the white rapper was Vanilla Ice up until that point. Like, right. That's what you thought of when you thought of a white rapper.
He came along when you saw, if you just looked at a picture of Eminem at that point in time when he was coming up and you saw a bleach blonde white guy, you were thinking boy band.
Yeah.
He came along NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees.
And he did it different than anyone else.
He was like the antithesis of boy band.
Yeah.
And he really brought it. And just to me, his lyrics, not only did they tell stories, he could flip words and metaphors and weave them in and out of his tracks like nobody's business. But he did it in such a creative, artsy, funny kind of way, storytelling. It got really dark sometimes too.
And he was brilliant because he always put out the pop rap song first to get the mainstream to buy his stuff because he knew his lyrics were strong enough to carry any hip hop head to buy his stuff.
Right.
My problem with him on the list is the last two albums are so below the standard that he himself set that I can't put him there. I just can't do it. Because he set the bar too high for himself.
And that's what I was saying like before we went to break on the last segment. Some guys, the front part of their catalog is so strong to where you can have a couple of duds and you still stay afloat because of the strength of what you did in the beginning.
He's certainly top 10. He's in that on the bubble group for me as well.
Gotcha.
My number two, give me Notorious B.I.G. He was so good at lyrical patterns and rhyme scheme. And he had the right group of people to give him the right beats to be on. The list of classics from him is just, it's never ending except until you get to the end of his life, unfortunately. He is a guy who I genuinely believe, had he not died, today still would be rapping if he wanted to. If he just didn't want to just sit on his money,
definitely
he would still be rapping and putting out great stuff.
Definitely.
My number two is B.I.G. too, so I mean I'm right there with you. I think you'll be more surprised at my number one. I won't say it now, but yeah, B.I.G.'s wordplay is insane, and you got to respect his speed too. Not necessarily the fastest speaking rapper, but the way he was consistent about his speed and his wordplay, I think was second to none. I just think it was an amazing talent that he had. So
agreed.
My number two is most certainly B.I.G. Hey,
Notorious Thugs. He went word for word with Bone Thugs and Harmony on that track.
Love that track.
And I mean, it was like, is this really Biggie?
Yeah.
You know, well, I'll piggyback off of that because you guys' number two is actually my number one. I put Biggie as my number one.
Okay. Cool. All right, so
no one's going to dog you for that.
No one's going to kill you for that. Right. And my wife always likes to tell me that she would roll down the mean streets of the Woodlands playing Notorious Thugs with her speaker system in her two door Tahoe or her Xterra. I don't remember which car she says in, but she always likes, she loves her some rap music, which I love that about her because I love me some rap music.
Right.
I'm gonna let you go because I'm very vehement in my number one. I want to make my case. I want to hear your number one.
I mean, if you've listened to The Usual Suspects, you'll know. I mean, if the normal listener would know, but Tupac Shakur. I know he's, and it goes against my criteria of lyrics,
sure.
I know, because I will say lyrically he may not be the best, but I don't think it's that far. I don't think it's that much of a discrepancy when you consider the delivery, when you consider the storytelling ability. And a lot of the patterns and the things that Tupac is doing right now is still being used today. No question. You can circle back and use a lot of the techniques and approaches that hip hop artists are using, even in this mumble rap, auto-tune type of era.
The social engagement side of rap is all because Tupac started it.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
I think he'd be an unbelievable hype man too. I think there's so many things he's good at.
Yeah, I really think KRS-One, Public Enemy, and even if you go back to Africa Bambaataa, they kind of started the but the modern day era of social.
Yeah.
Tupac brought it back to the forefront with Brenda's Got a Baby.
Yep.
That track right there. I mean, if you look at that video and it's just like, it'll almost depress you looking at that video.
Well, that's true. All right, my number one, and I am so, I think there's a huge gap between one and two. That's how much I think Andre 3000 is the best rapper to ever exist. He is Rakim if Rakim had had a long career.
That's a damn good comparison.
That's exactly what he is. Every single Outkast album, he manages to sound different from the previous album and the next album and make it sound amazing. His rhyme patterns are ridiculous.
Now that you say it, I remember you did mention on the podcast, but I completely forgot that was your favorite.
He is completely without a doubt to me the number one. If he's not in your top five, if he's not in your top five or on your bubble, you basically have no right to talk hip hop to me. That's how much I feel about him. And yes, I realize this is all subjective. Yeah. I get it. And I'm going to get killed by a lot of people on this. He's the best rapper living or dead in the history of hip hop.
Hey, you can't get an argument from me with that one, because Dre, he kicked off what I think is one of the best hip hop songs ever, International Players Anthem.
Yep.
And we could talk about that when we get back from the break, and we'll discuss this more. Brandon, hang in there. We see you calling with your top five. We're going to get you right after the break here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. We are The Usual Substitute, subbing in for Joel and Barry. My name is Jermaine Every. That is Mr. Craig Koshkin sitting across from me. And the producer, Nick, is behind the glass over there. We're having a very spirited, lively debate about the top five MCs of all time.
But we're not really debating with each other all that much. No. Our lists are very similar. We have some differences.
Right.
But they're pretty similar. Like, y'all both had Eminem.
Andre 3000 is the one I'm most surprised about. I didn't think either one of you would have him in the top five.
Oh, that's my dude.
Yeah. He's in my honorable mention. Scarface, Rakim, KRS-One. Yep. All those guys are like on my bubble. I had to cut him off because he said five. So I was like, okay, crap. We got to narrow it down to five.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lively debate going on Twitter. A bunch of guys, Dr. Dre on 290, Lamont, of course, is chiming in. I think we just got a reply from Don't Engage. There's a bunch of people chiming in with their personal opinions and everything, and that's great. We do have three callers right now. Let's see who it is. Brandon, you were holding the longest. Brandon, you're on with Craig and Jermaine. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, Craig? What's up, Jermaine? First of all, okay, whoever had Andre as their top, respect to you, bro, because I argue that with people all the time till my face is purple, but the reason why I left certain people off and I put certain people on, because I look at this differently. There's gods of rap, and Andre falls into the gods of rap, the unmentionables. You don't have to put him in a top five, because whether he's in your top five or not, he's one of the best ever. So you have gods of rap, or like Rakim, you know, Jay-Z, Nas, some other debatable people fall into gods of rap. But okay, from my list, I had to pull down some of them. So my top five is Rakim, GZA, Big L, Face, and Pac.
I like the Big L in top five.
Big L to me, no Big L, no Jay-Z. So whatever you want to say, if Jay-Z is on your top five or top ten, but no Big L, you don't know hip hop, and that's for anybody listening. And I'll debate that all day.
I will tell you this, Brandon. Full disclosure: when I was doing this last night, Big L never popped into my head. But now that you say it, I'm ashamed of myself for that having been the case.
Hey, look, I'm just saying, no big L. There is a lot of people are not here, including Jay-Z, including Nas. The big L changed the game when it came to lyrics, delivery, all that. He brought it back. Before some other people, but before it died off again, and then Pac and them had to bring it back after. But mad respect for Andre.
I appreciate that. That's my dude till the end.
That was a real good one, but Brandon.
Brandon, that is that's call of the day so far.
Yeah.
He's the leader
in the clubhouse.
I agree with his Gods of Rap tier. I understand that. But they all got to be included when you're talking about top five. You got to take everything into account. So
yeah.
I understand why he did it, because it opens the door for other guys, especially guys like Big L that I forgot and other people might have forgot when doing this. But and he may still be in your top five. He may be in Brandon's Gods of Rap tier anyway.
Right.
But for me, you got to take everybody into consideration when doing this. There's no rhetorical question answers when doing this. So
yeah, Big L, to me, he was like the godfather of modern New York rap. Like, when it made that bridge from, you know, like back in the day, the origins of it, and you got the late 80s, when you got to the early to mid 90s and New York rap like really was coming back, he was one of those guys who was at the forefront of it, who kind of like brought that style back and put them back on the map as far as like, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
Who we got up next?
Mark is next on the line. Then we're going to get to Lamont just after. What's up, Mark? You're in with the usual substitutes.
What's up, substitutes? Everything good?
Doing well. Man. Thank you.
So my top five, my number one is Nas off the bat. You know, I mean, Illmatic's crazy. You know, a lot of people want to say, you know, it was written as another classic album. You know, number two, Eminem, you know, I understand what you're saying. He's top heavy. The last two albums kind of, you know, but it's just Eminem's that type of rapper that I think that, you know, he needs something going on in his life to really come out with it. You know, like, I think if he did like a collab album with somebody where it's just him and somebody like, say, a Jay or a Nas going back at it on beats, I think Eminem will come out crazy lyrically again.
Yeah, that's fair. For sure. That's fair. For sure.
Number three, Biggie. Number four, Jay. And number five, I have a toss up between Face Mob and somebody else who I haven't heard, you know, and I've been in and out on the show today because I've been driving around. But Big Pun, and I understand why, because, you know, yeah, you don't have that much, you know, stuff going on. But that Capital Punishment album, I mean, my God, that thing is crazy.
Yeah, first Latin rapper to go platinum.
Big Pun's fine. He wouldn't crack even my top 20 probably, only because the catalog is sorely lacking.
Yeah,
it's just that what he has is quality, but there's not enough quantity.
Kind of respect that guy gets though in the game, like Big.
Yeah,
Pun.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I mean, a lot of artists put him up there. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I probably wouldn't. I don't know if he doesn't crack my top 20.
We're not talking about talent. The whole career has to be taken into consideration.
Right. That's what this whole list encompasses. It wasn't just who's the best lyricist?
If it was best lyricist, Rakim should probably be the top of everybody's list, and we'd end it right there.
Who put out the most albums? It was like all encompassing, like the whole total package. Agreed. What we put together on this list.
Lamont, it's time. I'm scared, Lamont. what do you got for us?
What's up, Lamont?
Hey man, I'm gonna get my list, but I want a caller before the last caller. He was talking about people not knowing Big L, and I live in New York. I lived in New York right after I got out of the military. Went to school up there, man. I was there for Children of the Corn. And for him to say no Jay-Z without Big L, man, Big L only blew up because of the 7-minute freestyle on Stretch Armstrong's and Bobbito's show. But I think it'd be more fair to say without Big L, there'd be no Mace and Cameron. I think
that's Jay-Z probably right. Okay. I see your logic
the
there.
The Harlem Connection.
Yeah, they just did the 7-minute freestyle together, and that took off. But here's my top five, and man, I got a couple of wild cards.
Okay.
Number five is Kiss, Jada Kiss. Number four is Nas.
Yeah.
Number three is KRS-One. Number two is Face. Number one is Tupac. On my bubble, I have Big, Eminem, Busta Rhymes, Papoose, and I threw a wild card in there, a female, Eve. And that's all I have.
All right, man. Appreciate it, man. And you know, here's the thing with somebody like Lamont. He is a music head, and he's going to think it out well, and he has very strong opinions.
Yep.
Very strong opinions. Yep.
I just feel weird about him leaving Biggie out of his
I'm a little disappointed that Andre doesn't even crack the bubble, but...
And then he put Busta in there.
Busta used to be able to go.
Yeah.
He's in your bubble, though? If you're doing just top five,
he's not in my bubble. He's in that 12 to 20 range. Okay. Kind of sort of 12 to 25.
He'd be at the back end. He'd be at the back end of that. But I understand Lamont's logic there. Like, I get it. He doesn't quite crack it for me, but I understand where he's coming from. Completely. I promise in the next hour we'll talk some sports. I mean, this has actually generated a lot of conversation, but this is supposed to be this is ESPN
sports
radio, isn't it?
Talk show.
Isn't it what it is? We ain't got time to get to the last two. We'll get to them just on the other
side.
We're
going to get to you guys on the other side. Mo and Curtis, we'll get to you guys on the other side of the break. We just got to pay the bills around here at ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.